What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the challenge All-Stars.
And today, guys, we are getting into part one of what is already looking like an epic final.
Yes, and we will be joined by the man behind the final and the entire season, the executive producer and showrunner, Justin Booth, so stick around for that interview.
I cannot wait to ask him so many questions about all of the pain and food he puts us through. Yeah. I am really excited to talk about this episode, though. This final was crazy, so let's get started.
Okay. All right, let's dive into this episode, Anissa, with your favorite segment, Time Bomb.
No.
Which is
your favorite segment. It's not. It's never been.
It's that 22-second recap in honor of the 22 badass challengers that came back on the All-Star show. So, Anissa, you are up first because you are the OG. Are you ready? In 3, 2, 1, go!
Oh, shit, it's the final. We get there. We got to solve a tangram. Whoever's first gets paired up, gets in a canoe. I hope yours doesn't tip the canoe and fall over like mine did. Then you get to the first checkpoint, and then whoever's last gets out of the final, and there's only 8 people going for it, and then you got to build a bike, then you got to go up a hill, and then you got to eat Carolina Reapers and run around a bit and, like, solve more puzzles, and that's it so far for the first part of the final.
Okay, way to sum it up. Legitimately summed it up in 22 seconds. I mean, I'm going to try to hit the details in the middle, dude, because you summed it up so well.
I'm sorry, but I don't know if you hear that.
Go!
Tori is now a bird watcher, so she's been feeding birds outside of her place in Jersey. And
I prefer crazy bird lady.
Well, whatever. I'm surprised your cat isn't trying to kill them. That's all. Just saying.
All right, I'm going to do this 22-second recap. I'm going to try to get every detail that you missed, which was, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do that, but I'm going to try. Okay?
You're going to do the best that you can, because you always do. All right, Tori, you got 3 seconds to start.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1.
All right, everybody knows my girl Anissa is good at puzzles, and guess what happened? She finishes that tangram first and bop, bop, bop in the canoe out on her finish first. That's absolutely not true. They actually miss the canoe because they tip. Tippity tip, tip, tip. I don't think Out knows how to canoe, but Anissa does, so things will be saved. Don't worry, because Derek and Hasela get eliminated. They have to go home first, which is really sad. Always sucks to get eliminated. Final, been there, done that. Next, they have to build a bike. Whoever thought about building a bike? It's not something I wanted to do unless I had Bob the Builder, my partner. But don't worry, yes. Oh, wow.
Don't worry. By Bob the Builder. I can't wait to get into this episode.
Yeah, it was
and
good.
I can't wait to talk to Justin, because I really just had to say that again, because it was crazy.
Yeah. What do you think the play of the day was?
I mean, it's so hard not to want to give it to myself.
Hey, take it.
And Alton for finishing that puzzle first and surviving a capsize.
Yeah.
And still getting points for that part. And still not coming in last and or second to last.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still in it to compete, and we still didn't come in last. But I also kind of want to give it to Big Easy, because he was the last person, even though he is amazing at puzzles. Sometimes, like, tangrams can kick your ass, because if you're really, like, frazzled, any piece can look like it could fit anywhere.
Right.
And clearly with tangrams, there's a specific spot for each shape.
Yep.
So shouts out to Big Easy for getting in there and for getting it done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to give it to, obviously, you as well. But I definitely feel like Big Easy came from behind back there with Kellyanne. And I want to give the dirtiest deed to, I'm sorry, Derek, we love you, but you canoed backwards. And I just think that in a final, you can't do that. Even if you were trying to reverse back in there, like, I don't know. Do you think that's the dirtiest deed?
I mean, one dirty deed was Darrell's mouth this episode, because he was talking all that shit. Okay. And I loved it.
Thank
Darrell
you very much,
is, love. I feel like this is his, not his breakout season, but it's really showing his personality. I feel like he doesn't get shown a lot for the funny. And just, he's so funny.
Yeah, he is.
And he is a threat in a final. But when he's just shit talking in this canoe, because it's awesome that they're actually showing these conversations people are having in their boats.
Right.
Because when you're stressed out, you just talk all types of shit to yourself, to your partner, about other people. And you forget that you're actually on a TV show.
Yeah. 100%.
You know? So it's do or die. So shout out to Darrell for talking that shit.
Yeah, and thank you, Paramount Plus, for not bleeping it out, because it is so refreshing to watch all of these legitimate curses. It's so fun to watch.
It's going to get worse.
I can't wait.
It's going to get worse.
Oh, I can't wait. It's so good. Let's get into this episode. Let's talk about this Tangram puzzle. Anissa, what was it like being up there? Were you frazzled? What was it like with TJ coming up and being like, all right, guys, this final is going to be multiple days? Like, let's talk
about
that.
First of all, I know. I was like, fuck. I think that's what I said.
You heard you.
Verbatim. Yes, I heard myself. It's just like, I know of 2 days, but multiple means like three. Mm. Like, what in the... There are people that haven't done this shit in 18, and you want them for 3 days out here in the Argentinian wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
Like... No.
Brutal.
I know I wanted to be in the final, but did I want to be in it this badly? But it's just the whole, like, you got to read the rules first, and then you can actually start playing the game. Like, mm-hmm. It's just so, I think it's anxiety provoking, because you're like, okay, where do I start? Because they were like, you can read the rules, and people are already starting to do their puzzle.
Yep.
And I'm like, you cheating asses, like... I thought I had to finish the rules and then you could move.
Yeah, but at least you got it done first.
I mean, listen.
Go ahead, girl.
I'm not going to say I'm a puzzle master, but I am kind of the puzzle mistress.
Ooh!
Just saying, I slide in and I get shit done.
You really are, though. You really are. You always pull up on some, you really do have that in the bag. I think that's what makes you, like, such a threat in the game. Like, you are really fucking good at all of that logic and puzzle shit.
Yeah, that's my stuff. That is like what I like to do. I like shit when I'm like under pressure, mm-hmm. and I really gotta go.
That's so cool.
What sucked was I love John A. I was like, shit, I should have kept my puzzle up for her, you know? But then I'm like, it's a final. So like the moment you touch stuff, you gotta toss it down. I can't believe people were like lying them down to do them. But I will say your puzzle pieces were sliding the whole time you were doing it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't stay because it was on a slant. So TJ just wanted to start it off all rickety, and then you get to your canoe, and there were different size canoes, and a couple were like different shapes and had different seats. Then got out and sat all the way in the front.
Wow. I didn't even realize that there were different shaped canoes. So it was just first come, first serve. Like, you just grab whatever one you thought fit best. Did he know to go in the front, or did he just sit there and then you just were kind of like, okay, fine? Because I feel like guys are typically the ones steering it in the back.
They are, but clearly I don't think he's ever done that before.
Yeah. And so did you not think to correct him, or you were just like, whatever, let's just go? Like, you trusted
that
you
had a lead, and I trust my willingness to go and my strength in canoeing that I would be fine.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I knew I could motivate him being behind him and push him. I also knew that, like, my stroke game is crazy.
Oh, shit! My stroke game is crazy. Yes, and you know, girl, you sure know how to get it wet. Because let's talk about that canoe.
And then we just capsized. So a little too wet, a little bit of a super soaker there. And just watching everybody go by is like, all right, we may lose, you know. And a lot of people, I mean, people had different strategies, like same side, different side. It was cool to see the communication between the teams,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're not going to have the same person at every checkpoint, and you can't use the same person twice, which I thought was amazing because it legitimately evens out the playing field. We only have one winner, you know, so this, I think, was the fairest way to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
You just didn't know who you were going to get at which point, which may or may not mess with your points.
Right, because you also don't know what you're picking somebody for. Like, you heard Darrell after they had gotten up to that bike stage. He's like, well, what am I picking my partner for? And TJ was like, for the next round. And you don't know what the next round is.
Right. And TJ wasn't trying to tell you anything.
Yeah. So you kind of just have to go with it at that point in time and hope that you pick somebody good, which was so great that Yes picked you for, I don't want to jump ahead too far, but Yes picked you right before the eating one. When I saw that it was eating, I was like, oh shit, he picked the right partner because Anissa is the fucking beast of eating.
No, I'm not. We actually have to back up and then we're going to get there. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay. All right. Let's back up first.
So I guess when Easy got there, and then the best part was people's dismounts out of the canoe. They were like, oh, man, I got here and I'm dry and I didn't capsize. Darrell fell in.
Yeah.
Easy fell in.
Yeah.
And I thought our camelbacks were going to keep our stuff dry because they said, take everything you want with you.
Mm.
So we had our snacks. I had an extra shirt. I had extra socks. I had extra gloves. Soaked. Yeah. So when we got to the shore, we were all like lying there making like dirt angels, trying to get as dry as possible because we knew,
right,
especially if it was going to be overnight, we were going to freeze because all right, we were doing was going up. So we get there. Hisela and Derek finally make it. They get eliminated, which was probably best for Hisela because I don't think with the fact that we are about to build a bike that she could have done it.
Because her knee?
With her injury.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she could have. There was so much uphill. And just with the pedaling, you know, at the next stage, I don't think it would have been good for her.
Yeah.
And
maybe a blessing in disguise so that she didn't have to continue. Because she's a fighter. She would have. She looked like she would have pushed
But it would have, I think it would have made, it would have been worse off for her, you know?
Yeah.
What, you know, small injuries can become really, really bad. And is it worth it? You know, like not being able to wear heels again and like salsa, do the things that she loves to do and be fly. Like Hisela would die if she couldn't wear her little heels again, you know, or if she couldn't dance. Like the things that we're passionate about can get taken away in 2 seconds if we have too much pride. You know, sometimes you just got to make the decision of like, and I think that that's how the challenge gods work this season. They were just like, listen, this isn't it. I was devastated, though, for Derek, too, because I knew he wanted to be there. I wanted to be his partner in the final at some point, you know, so that just sucked. I knew he would have been a great addition.
Yeah, and, you know, he, like he had mentioned before, he'd been waiting so long to get back on there. The last time we saw him was when we were all mercenaries together, and he loved it. I mean, that was the biggest fight I've ever seen out of anybody. He was crazy, and he loves to compete. So it sucks that it, you know, got pulled from him early, but hopefully he'll have the ability to come back. Hopefully there's a round two of All-Stars, and I'm sure he'll come back. So, but at least the rest of you guys made it, which is the plus side. So you're still in the final and you guys all capsize getting onto this sand, making sand angels. And then TJ says, pick a new partner. And then the partners change. And then you got to build this bike. Individually, you have to build your own bike.
Yeah. But there's not even like a reference. Like the bike is the only, the built bike is the only reference. So Mark and I did really well, I think, at building it. And it's hard to not talk about my experience because I really wasn't looking at other people. You just have to gauge where people are and if you have to catch up. But a lot of people had trouble with this ride.
Yeah.
You know, Mark's pedal fell off. People's handlebars fell off. People's handlebars and tuckins fell off. People's handlebars fell off. People's tires fell off. And the brakes were not where I think the only person that got their brakes right was Guess. He was like, oh, you didn't tighten the brakes with the thick. No, I didn't. Yes. Right. And why didn't you tell us?
Right.
You know, thanks for the advice, friend.
Shit. You know what? This makes me think of a little secret play of the day in the middle of it. I think it was Darrell that was like, keep that little tool. Remember that little tool that he was saying?
And yeah, we kept our pump.
Okay,
because
smart.
I didn't pump my tires up enough. Because if you've ever built a bike, speaking to our audience, if you've ever built a bike, it feels like the tires are full enough and you don't want them to pop. I feel like there's an irrational fear that they'll pop. I will give you a bit of advice. Always over pump. Okay? And for guys out there, always over pump. Even when you think you're done. Keep on pumping. Chances are she's not. And she meaning my bike. My bike was not full. When I sat on it, it was just like douche, douche, douche. I'm like, Mark, I have no air. I have no brakes. I have no air. When his pedal fell off, I was pulling him. He was like, Niece, just come with me. Like, fuck it. All right. So on the downhill, I'm like pulling Mark with me.
Yeah.
Mark was an amazing partner. Like when I got tired, he was pulling both bikes up the hill. Like he's a monster. And I think these guys showed, majority of these guys showed that, they're all a force, you know, and all these checkpoints are going to be different. I mean, and then we get to the end of it and it's another puzzle.
Yeah. But how much, like one thing that we don't really get to see as viewers is how much distance is on each of these runs or legs. Like how far do you think the canoe was? How far do you think the bike ride was?
The canoe was far as hell.
Uh-huh.
Because once I thought I was at the point where I'm like, it's right here, Alton. They were like, follow TJ's boat. I'm like, follow his boat to where?
Because
once we were done with our canoe, we had to pick up our canoe and run through the woods with it and then put it back in the water.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so they skip that part. I'm like, Alton, we have to put it over our heads. He's like, trying to drag it. I'm like, this is the heaviest shit.
Oh,
we are
damn.
Never going to make it. Yeah.
Well, Challenge Confidential in the middle of the episode. Hello.
Right. I feel like I have a few more.
Okay.
I gotta remember them.
I want them all. That's crazy.
I'm going to try and do what I can.
Yeah.
So we get to that second part of the checkpoint where it's to do the puzzle. And I look at it and I'm like, these are going to equal 15. But I didn't know that they had size and I was trying to fit them in. It was a really interesting one because it was like different shapes, different sizes, and different numbers on each side.
Mm.
And I didn't know that I had to finish it with Mark. Right. I thought I was just going to get the points to finish. I didn't know I could help him either. So that was an interesting point. You know, there's always like a little bit of gray area in finals where you're like, don't know if you can touch it. Like, you don't want to get penalized for anything, but you also want to do the right thing. And, you know, so I figured I had to make up time there.
Yeah. So then obviously after you guys do this star math puzzle, I guess that's what we'll call it, then you guys have to go on this, he calls it a sprint. And clearly this
is
not a sprint.
It is not a sprint. When I tell you,
it's so deceiving.
Every corner was just a straight up hill. And you know, Tori, you're not, first of all, there's so much dust.
Yeah.
From the, it's just mud, like dirt. And you're in the shrubs, it's hot. It's dry, but it's also like the altitude is changing too, because you're going up a mountain.
Right. In Argentina, for that matter.
Yeah. And, you know, Easy and I ran for a little bit, and then I was like, yeah. He was like, we could just chill. And we finished like 2 minutes or 3 minutes behind everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it seems longer because they all were with each other.
Right.
And maybe had Easy and I ran for a little bit longer in the beginning, we probably would have been right with them. But I'm like, there's always time to catch up.
Yep, for sure. There's always equalizers. There's puzzles. There are so many things that, like, these sections, they matter for that part. But there's not always going to be a sprint, so-called, in every section.
Well, yeah, because what we've seen is, so far in the final, is do something and then get there and do something else. And that something else is what's going to determine if you get first, second, third, or fourth.
Right. And then after you do this quote unquote sprint, you end up at these plates and you see these, what we thought were dates a few episodes ago, but are for sure.
Clearly not.
Carolina Reapers. Talk to me about eating those. What was that experience like for you?
So we run there and I'm like, oh, hell no. And yes, it's like, okay, babe, we got to do this. And I'm like, I don't think I can do this. I said that to him. I literally said that because I watched Nehemiah dry heave. And I have, if no one knows, like the biggest fear of vomit.
Yeah.
So dry heaving, which I think I've done one time in my life, is so like the anticipation of vomiting or dry heaving is so frightening to me that I'm like, yes, I don't think I could do it. I literally said that to his face. And then I saw him do it. He was like, you can do it. I'm like, you know what? I can. I mean, you see me talking to myself during this final where I'm like, you're not a pussy.
Yeah.
Like, just having these, like, little pep talks. And I bit it, and I swallowed both of them with my Camelback, my water, because I wasn't going to chew them. Mm. I chewed them a little bit. And then I solved that puzzle first.
So you didn't even really chew them. You just swallowed them whole.
No, I tore them in half and then I did it because the seeds are what's spicy.
Right.
And you really don't want to chew it.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, if they're whole or halves, then they're going to take a little bit longer to, digest.
Right.
And I'm not going to get that instant sizzle.
Right. Which everybody clearly experienced because people were dropping like flies after that.
Right. And I'm imagining, like, they were like, well, you can get refreshments after this. Like, we're going to help you out with your mouth. I'm like, oh, awesome. We're getting milk. So I'm like, yes, we're going to get some milk. We're going to be okay. Like, just kind of feeding him with that because he was struggling on this is the only part, I think, of the final so far where I've seen, yes, like, not feel well.
Okay.
So on the way up, you just see, like, Kellyanne. At one point, Darrell picks up Kellyanne and she's, I guess, gagging over his shoulder. And then
so Darrell picked up Ruthie
too.
And Killian? Wow. Yep. Darrell.
That's probably why we haven't been partners yet. He was like, give me them tiny girls for these hills. I see you cheating out there, Darrell. He's trying to carry these chicks like little satchels. I mean, shit, Darrell. I'm going to carry Darrell if I get partnered with him. I'll put him right over my shoulder.
Okay. Obviously, these Carolina Reapers are tearing people apart. And this episode ends off with this huge cliffhanger because we don't know if Darrell's going to quit or not. Like he said, he's been in 4 finals. He has won every single one. So, like, obviously, it's like you would expect Darrell to stay in and, like, hang this one out. But, like, it leaves us on a cliffhanger. Is Darrell going to stay in this final? Is he not? And Issa, you want to just spill the tea right now since you're here? Just tell us what happens.
No.
Okay.
We'll just have to wait and see if these people can make it. These Carolina Reapers are the devil.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely look like they are not easy.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk to Justin later and say no thank you to the Carolina Reapers because it was so rude and it burned going in and coming out.
I think it's only fair, Anissa, that if they roasted your stomach, you have every right to roast Justin in this next interview. So stay tuned, guys.
I'm going to roast the shit out of him. Consider him skewered or rotisseried. Either way, I'm roasting that ass.
Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned, guys, because that's coming up next.
We are now coming to one of my favorite parts of the podcast where we get to interview someone. And today we get to interview a very, 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 very special man who has been a part of this for as long as I've been doing it, who is in charge of putting us through hell season after season after season. I'd like to welcome Justin Booth, who is our executive producer and the showrunner.
Welcome, Justin!
Hey, hey, hey. What's happening?
Nothing. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm enjoying watching our show.
Yeah, this is an amazing season. I tell Anissa all the time, like, so nostalgic, so much fun. Like, the competition just feels good. It doesn't feel like there's, like, a lot of negative energy attached to it. So I am loving this addition to the Challenge family of shows.
Yeah, no, it's good. We're excited about it, and it's fun to kind of flash back to where it all began, you know. So we're really enjoying all the nostalgia that's attached to it and just kind of getting back to our roots. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like before I drill you on everything, I want to let the people know, you know, what are your main responsibilities besides putting us through hell, making us eat weird shit, and running until we die? What is your main role on the show?
Well, as a showrunner for Challenge, you know, it's kind of multifaceted. We do a little bit of everything, you know, from the original casting of the show all the way to the creative and all the games and the development of all that stuff, the scouting, all, you know, the locations, and put all that together and then put a team together and go out and shoot it. So it's kind of, you know, I oversee everything, and this position as a showrunner oversees every aspect of the game.
Yeah. And you obviously, like, worked long and hard to get in the position that you're at now, because, like you said to Anissa, like, you guys have kind of grown up together in this world. So, like, can you
explain? He's older than me.
Yeah, but I'm talking about your careers.
Sorry.
Anissa's like, no.
I mean, like, I was a child when I started.
Like, your careers, you guys have grown together career-wise on this show. So, Justin, would you mind just talking about how early you started on this challenge and how your job has changed over time?
Yeah, no, it's funny. I saw a picture, Anissa, the other day of you and I in Trinidad, and you look like you're about 11 years old, and I look like I'm about 15 years old.
I love it.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that was a great time. Yeah. That was a great season.
I mean, that is so long ago, but, you know, I started on Road Rules, actually. So Road Rules was 2002. When I came on to Road Rules, it was 2002. And then from Road Rules, I went to Challenge just as a number two. And a number two meaning that I was, you know, I helped the showrunner run everything. And from there, we started. The Inferno was the first time that I was handed the reins to actually run the entire show. So it's been a long time.
Oh, wow.
It's been 16 something years. So,
wait, what were you doing on Road Rules?
I was on Road Rules 12 and 13, so South Pacific, and then Extreme. I was a coordinating producer. I was a segment producer actually on 12, and then a coordinating producer on 13. So, long, long time ago.
Wow. Oh, I remember those days.
Like I say, I mean, 12 is where I met Abe and Derek.
Yeah.
And they look like babies. You know, if I look at pictures of those guys, it's unbelievable. Anyway. Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. It's amazing to watch, though. I mean, and like since then, you guys have obviously put in so much work to make this blow up into one of the best shows, if not the best show on TV ever. And now you have All Stars. But there's obviously a lot of prep that goes into this entire process. So how long do you have to start working on a season before it actually gets into casting or before we even step foot in front of TJ?
Before y'all arrive, before the cast arrives, we would have been working on it for at least 3 months, if not four. You know, typically I come on first and start the initial prep and the location surveys and all that kind of stuff. So it's, yeah, we've been doing it on average 3 to 4 months prior to your arrival.
But so that's crazy, because I'm like, if there's a show that's ending, and then the time between the show that's going to start, like the next season of something, are you already thinking of something while you're finishing?
Mm. Yeah.
Because I was like, that's the only reason you'd be able to do it. I'm like, once Double Agent stopped and then All Stars started, I mean, you had like 5 weeks. So.
Yeah, no, which is why we've expanded to where I was doing everything for a while, for years and years. Obviously, you remember that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was only in the U.S. for like 4 months a year.
Wow.
Because I was always gone doing all this other stuff. And so now we've expanded. We have Emer Harkin, who's running shows, mm-hmm. and now Ryan Smith, who's running shows. These guys also, just like me, came up through the ranks and are fantastic. And so mm-hmm. now what that allows us to do is kind of, you know, be a little bit more civilized with how we manage our preparation. Mm-hmm. So,
well, speaking of more civilized, how do working on All Stars compare to other seasons?
The creative was fantastic. Like I say, it gave us a chance to kind of go back in time and kind of re-explore how this all started, right? But you still want to stay with the times and kind of apply what we know now from having done 35 seasons of the show, mm-hmm. and kind of reapply it to some of the things that got us here in the first place. And so that was a lot of fun. It was a new challenge.
Yeah.
And you know, we hope that we pulled that off with All Stars too. Obviously, y'all came in. A lot of these guys hadn't played the game in forever, and the first game that they're thrown into is in freezing cold water, having to dive down to release these trunks. You know, it's not easy what they did first, but it's far more difficult than anything they had to do back when we started. Mm-hmm. I think Anissa could probably attest to that. But when we were doing chicken suit runs and things like that.
Thank God I actually wasn't. You didn't cast me for those seasons. Thank you. But I actually feel like the stuff that we were doing on All Stars, you could totally mix up and throw on MTV, like in the other challenge. Like, I don't think the first challenge was ridiculous. Like, we never swim without life jackets. I mean, I can count on one hand, let alone dive down for something that I could not get off that stupid line. But, you know, it's fear and the ability to swim and the ability to, like, you know, take that chance and go down there and dive. And then you got math and all this other stuff. I'm like, this is something I could see on a regular season along with every other thing we did. So I feel like you didn't let up at all. You were like, I don't care if you've been gone for 15 years. I'm still going to hit you with the shit right now. Like, you're about to fear for your life. Like, no, we're not playing hopscotch in the backyard.
Yeah, no, I mean, they were certainly reboots, but, you know, the genesis of that obviously is from the beginning, you know, from our roots.
Yeah.
And so, no, I'm not going to cut y'all slack, especially, you know, because the All-Stars mix is some people like yourself who are still very much involved in all of this, you know, the mm-hmm. competition. You're still one of the big athletes in the game. Yes. So it's not really fair to make something so easy that you steamroll through everybody else who hasn't done it.
I mean, or maybe it would have been great.
He's just like, throw me a fucking bone.
No, actually, I felt very confident this season, so thank you. No, I was fine because I'm used to it. You're right. I'm used to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all are still you're active athletes in the game. So
how do you feel
like
the
hear that?
How do you feel like the reaction has been with people watching it? I mean, I know I'm obsessed with it, but have you seen like positive reactions to the season?
Yeah, I've seen a ton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the feedback that we're getting is great. You know, I mean, it seems like it's the right show at the right time. We're all coming out of all this crappy last year that we've all had to deal with, and all the bullshit that's entailed, and so this is just a breath of fresh air. And so I think everybody's excited about it. It's been great. You know, people have been complimenting me on it, that I'm like, you watch this, you know, you watch this stuff. So
yeah,
it's been great. So.
I mean, apparently there are a lot of stars that actually watch this. Like, Anissa's got some fans over there, aka Drake, who watches the show now. Like, how crazy is it? Some of these big ass celebrities are watching a show that you helped to groom.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It used to be one of these things that was kind of a guilty pleasure, but I feel like over the past few years, we've legitimized ourselves as a real, you know, I mean, it's we're still entertainment. But it's a competition, mm-hmm. and it's a tough competition. It's not something that anybody can do, and we've proven that. We brought in big time athletes who, mm-hmm. you know, by all rights should be able to just motor right on through, and they can't do it. Mm-hmm. So, and that's you know, testament to all the other guys who are in this game. You know, it's a hard game, and so I hope that the fans of that, you know, see all of that, and that's why they're watching.
And that's definitely why they're watching. I mean, like, it is 100% a hard game. But I'm also sure it's hard for you guys behind the scenes, too. Like, there's so much planning. There's so much just everything that goes into making this game as amazing and as special as it is. So, like, going into this episode, just talking about the final and all of the amazing stuff that they had to do in this first part.
Amazing.
I mean, it was amazing
that's
to watch.
One way of putting it.
It was okay. Amazing to watch. It was amazing to watch. It was great not being in it. I loved rooting for you, Anissa. You fucking crushed it. Like, it was amazing to watch. So, like, but from a production standpoint, how much planning do you have to do before that final starts? Like, are you planning the final before the season even starts? Or are you guys planning that stuff during the season?
You know, oftentimes, unfortunately, because of the timetable, we're starting to put that together once we land on the location, you know.
Interesting.
Certainly the, you know, you kind of come up with a framework and you talk to the studio about all that stuff before, but you don't, you know, you kind of have to sit there and feel where you are and feel how the game's going to go and feel how y'all do with certain things to kind of really be able to fine tune those finals, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some of them can look somewhat similar, but they're all very different, and they are all tailored to the players that are playing the game for that season. So,
have you ever come up with an idea and people are like, "Justin, absolutely not! Like the kids are gonna die
all the time."
Okay,
man. All the time.
I figured I wasn't the only one thinking like, "Oh, why are we doing this?" But like, you come up with some pretty. It must be hard, like season after season, to come up with different ideas. Not only just the games, but the final. Like, let me make this final more challenging, and or how do I make it different than any other one? And how do people not look at me like I'm crazy when I'm like, so they're gonna jump off this cliff, and then they're gonna eat this animal's body part. And then they're going to drink some blood, and they're going to run over here, and they're going to do something else, and they're going to canoe for 7 hours. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
Who says no to you so I can send them an edible arrangement? Because they clearly need, they clearly need a gift.
The MTV gang does. Dan and Leanne and Jared. So you can thank those guys.
Awesome.
Listen, they probably don't want to do it. That's why. No offense.
You know,
but.
Look, we just want to, I certainly never want to put you in a position where you might be hurt, but and that's why I'm injured from testing all these games for so long, you know, but mm-hmm. it's just more fun to see how you deal with it. And a lot of y'all have really grown as human beings because you've learned that you can do a lot more than you thought you could, or that you
true.
Told yourself that you could. And that's the mm-hmm. game, you know, it's to see you grow and to see you to go, fuck, dude, I can really do this. I'm actually way more of a badass than I thought I was. You know?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. that's the emotion that we're all chasing. It's not just because I like to see you. I'm not so masochistic that I want you to just suffer. You know, that's
you
not
sure? so mad. No, it's about perseverance. No, I get it. Because
no,
the game isn't just physical. It's when I feel like it's sometimes the least physical, where it's like, how do I tell my brain that my body doesn't hurt right now? You
right.
know, like, how do I trick myself into like going yeah. into like the depths of my soul to make me take 10 more steps or 20 more steps or just one more hour or, you know, to yeah. take this last bite? Like, it really is like a mind over matter thing at the end of it.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, how hard is it to stand up without doing anything else and just don't go sleep?
That's what I was going to say.
It's not really that hard, but it's real hard, you know?
But it's really fucking hard.
So hard. Yeah. So hard. I mean, you don't realize how hard it is for your feet to stand that long until you do it. Until you have stood outside all night and literally watched the sun go down and then come back up, you don't know how hard that is until you do it. It's the hardest thing in the world.
It's hard. Sleep deprivation and things like that, which, you know, if you look at it on paper, you're like, big deal, I'm not going to sleep for a while. But it's way more of a mind F. I don't know if I can cuss on this thing or not. So.
Yeah, you can.
We already have. It's fine.
Yeah. Totally.
No, I totally get it.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, like, in this final, TJ mentions that it's going to be a multi-day final. And, like, everybody at All-Stars, the first moment is like, what the fuck? So I think that, like, people weren't not that they underestimated how hard this was going to be, but I think that some of them definitely did. So did you get, like, crazy feedback from the people who came and did All-Stars? Like, any negative feedback for how hard it was?
I mean, negative, yeah. You definitely, outside of the Anissas and the Darrells and these guys who are used to kind of doing that, it was a big oh shit moment for all the guys who were just coming back after not playing for 10 years, because, you know, the finals were very different back then. But largely after all of y'all are angry at me right after, everybody, you know. Like during and right after, everybody's pissed off at me. But after you've had some sleep and had a chance to digest it, I think everybody's really had, you know, it's a good experience. Again, everybody's stoked that they fucking did it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the feedback has been positive after a little while.
So. Totally. Yeah. Just need some sleep. Did you have any favorites going into this final? Like, obviously, you've known some of these people for a while. So was it, like, hard not to choose someone to root for?
Oh, man, this is a political question.
Welcome to the game.
Right. No, I certainly have the guys that I like to see do well, and I like to see, you know, kind of graduate to feeling better about themselves. But I don't have a favorite. No. Do we sometimes, you know, wager on who might do good on a certain game? Absolutely.
That's
know,
amazing.
But,
were the wagers about my canoeing and puzzle skills? Not to make it about me, but to make it about me.
Hey, listen, you kept your head, you know? I mean, your canoe flipped over. Dude, that's a big deal, you know? So you kept your head and you recovered well. That's the takeaway from that. Y'all got back up, you finished, you didn't get eliminated. Oof. Those are the cool moments in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what else was a cool moment? How you avoided saying that anybody was a favorite for you in that moment. But that's okay. I won't pressure you to say my name. It's totally fine.
But you'll always be one of my favorites. I mean, I've known you since that.
Well, listen, that works for me. I was, no wait, Jeff Jenkins was, were you there on Battle of the Sexes 1?
2.
Yeah,
Battle was in the first Santa Fe. I was in Santa Fe.
How old were you?
I was 29.
Wow. And, little baby booth. I will tell you.
I could have been a player.
Southern hot stuff back in the day. You would have killed us, I think. I don't know how you would have done socially, but I feel like athletically you would have dominated. I think that you have the wherewithal to withstand a lot of things that people gain.
Maybe back then. Not so much anymore, but maybe back then. I've gotten soft.
Could you imagine
I'm a dad
in the
now,
house with
know?
Us? So. Aww, I love
What's that.
That?
I can't imagine you in the house with us, but I'm trying to think of it. It makes me giggle. With like Fessy and all these guys like poking their chest out and you being like, listen, I don't really have time for this shit. I'm going to sit outside. Like, you know, have a beer by the fire and go to bed.
Right. Yeah, no, that's part of the game. That's what makes this such, you know, I mean, that's why the big time athletes can't do it, because that's just as important as the athletic part is the politics and the, man, I mean, the politics can be applied to real life over and over and over again. So that's what makes this game so cool and so different than any other game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And I also love, like, just to bring it back to the final, like, in the final, you have all these different checkpoints, and sometimes people thrive at them, and sometimes they don't. Like, we saw Outen in the canoe. That obviously wasn't his forte. But, like, you know, Anissa can kill a puzzle. So, like, how important is it for you as a producer to have these moments for people where they can get ahead and then, like, have an equalizer almost in a in an aspect that maybe they wouldn't be good at before.
Yeah, well, it's super important because you don't, you know, everybody's good at something, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, that all of our players can certainly excel at one thing, but very few can excel at all things. And there's not one thing that's more important than the other. And so these equalizers, as you say, you know, it's designed to where you get the best all around performance from your players. So it's not like we're nerfing the game because we want to let the slow people catch up or anything like that. It's every single checkpoint is just as important as the other, you know, and it's designed to come out with the most well-rounded, you know, player at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's what I was telling her. Like, even if you were last on the bike, you could have been first to finish the puzzle. It wouldn't have mattered how your bike ride was, because if you finished the puzzle first, you got 5 points.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Or you have the run, but then then you're eating pepper. I don't know.
And we get rid of the gender. There's any gender discrepancy that anybody would argue with. This, listen, you know, gender is the least important factor, you know, when it comes to these kinds of games. It's just all in the head.
Especially when they're running together. Yeah, especially when they're running. When they're running together, it's like, well, you're running with a girl or you're running with a guy anyway. So therefore, your partner is of the opposite sex.
And you're tethered to them.
Yeah.
So it's not like they could get far ahead of you unless they start dragging you, which would be awful to watch, and probably awful to get dragged.
For sure.
Do you ever feel like bad when you see somebody like not doing too well in a final, or you see a challenger struggling?
I don't necessarily feel bad unless I know the potential of that person and them not realizing their own potential, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad for people who didn't quite believe in themselves. I don't feel bad for somebody who's given it their best and they just suck at it, right? You know what I mean? That's just winning and losing. That's the game. But sometimes I do feel bad when I'm like, I know that they have it in them and they don't realize that. You know, that's kind of a bummer. And sometimes we have players back that finally do realize that, and other times we don't, you know. So
yeah.
Well, I think it was nice because people had a chance to have partners that could kind of push them, you know, because I know I get in my head a lot about certain parts that I'm not super confident about. And then I'll start talking to myself. But it also takes that of like some other person that can offer words of encouragement. So I definitely think having partners and switching partners throughout the final definitely, I mean, helped with how I competed. You know, I had one person depending on me, but at the same time, I also had somebody pushing me or someone who I had to encourage. So I think that definitely was a positive thing. Yeah, it definitely can go in the opposite direction, though.
Oh, sure. For sure. You know, we did it with free agents where we did a model kind of pretty much very, very similar anyway. And it's awesome. I love it. You know, I would like to apply it often. So, because I think it again, you get to see the most well-rounded player who deals with whatever it is the best, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Whether it be a puzzle or whether it be your partner who maybe is not.
Right.
Totally. How important do you think it is? Like, how important do you think communication plays a role in a final like this?
Super important. Mm-hmm. And positivity, you know, and I'm not. It's funny that I would even say that because I'm not the most positive guy. But oftentimes the guys who keep their chin up, they're the ones who do the best, you know?
Yeah.
It's easy to just turn on your partner and go, my fucking God, you suck, you know?
Yeah.
And then now you're only, not only are you taking yourself down, you're making them feel bad. And so they're not going to give you your best anyway. So it's again, testament to positivity and just going, just keep going.
Totally. And I know that, like, you know, you probably don't necessarily feel bad for people because, like, you like to see people's growth, like you were saying before. But, like, when you see somebody like Derek, who is obviously, like, a true fan of this game, he loves to run these finals, and he had to go home first. Like, what does it feel like from your standpoint, from somebody who's known him for so long, to see him go home in that first leg of the final?
I mean, look, that guy doesn't quit. He is the last. He would be, if you asked me who would be the last person to quit, period, and he's the first name out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. But how hard is it to to get on YouTube and learn how to use a Canoe.
Yeah.
I mean, and we've done enough of these games, and Derek has no real excuse not to come down on him because I love the guy, but he should know how to do that, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. that's his fault. So I don't feel bad about that. You know, mm-hmm. come on, man. You don't know how to canoe? It's not, we've been using canoes for nearly 2 decades. So,
right.
You know, so that's kind of my takeaway with that. I mean, Hisella obviously doesn't have the experience Derek does. So I'm much more forgiving to those players than I am to somebody like Derek, who's done a million of these things, and he should know how to use a canoe. He should. So. Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I think that worked out in her favor, though. I was telling Tori earlier, because I don't think she would have been able with her knee to run anything.
Nor I, yeah. And that's a bummer, too, when somebody gets hurt and you're like, oh, man, they're not going to be able to do it. You know. And then, unfortunately, with this game, they take somebody down with them in some cases. Not this case. Hisella had right. no. Hisella did not take Derek down, you know. So, yeah. in a way, it's a good thing because they just didn't get it done together.
That's exactly how I feel, too. Yeah, because when you were like, when you brought up, like, came up with that rule, like, you know, if you quit, your partner's done too. I'm like, this whole game is mm-hmm. just the whole, like, it's not just about you,
right?
You know, like, you have the fate of somebody else, you know, in your hands too. And I'm like, shit,
which is scary.
Why am I here? Why did I want to be here?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm grateful that I was, you know, play my cards right this time, but yeah, it definitely humbles you in a way and like kind of puts you in check when you have to work for two.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And like when they're out there busting that ass, when they're running up mountains and kayaking 80,000 miles or canoeing 80,000 miles, whatever it is, what is your job? What are you doing? Are you sitting in a van eating a Twinkie? And not that you look like you eat Twinkies, but are you enjoying a nice snack?
No, we're with you the whole way. That particular game, obviously we didn't all jump on boats and try to, we had to meet everyone at the second checkpoint. So we had a long four-wheel drive through the wilderness, you know, mm-hmm. blast off to, once everybody was in the water, then we had our crews that are taking care of that part of the show. And then we run and meet you at checkpoint two. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop. And we don't, you know, we also don't sleep. And
wow.
In our mom.
So you're going through it too.
Oh yeah. We definitely go through it.
Yeah. And so you've obviously been there for many a finals. So out of all of the finals that you have been a part of, or you've just watched, what do you think the toughest final ever has been?
I've thought about this, actually.
Do you think about this? You think about this at night? Like, how can I?
Ooh, I thought about this one.
No, but I have. But, you know, I've thought about what is the hardest combination, physical and mental, finale that we've ever done, and they're all very difficult, so I don't want to sell any of them short.
Yeah,
you know, they are all very different, but I would say that recently War of the Worlds was a really tough, you know, because they had to deal with heat and it was dry and then the sleep deprivation, and that was a real tough one. And then I would say that the Rivals finale, which was also in Argentina back in the day, that's when Paula won her first challenge.
Yeah, that, they sent me
that finale. That was a brutal, brutal, you know, finale. And then our one day finales, which I think the Cutthroat finale was, even though it was only one day, it was only like 14 hours. Mm-hmm. I think that's harder than some of our 2 day finales.
Wow.
That
was a pretty which cool. one was the one where Wes got taken out? They all got medically removed from whatever. They were like, I guess they were they in Prague? They were like, all of a sudden it was like 100 degrees.
Yeah, that was Prague. That was Cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone was puking, dry heaving. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. That was a brutal, I mean, because of, like you say, that you were on a airplane tarmac and then all of a sudden, you know, in Prague, it got to be 100 degrees out there, which made it 110 degrees on the tarmac. And so everybody was just, I mean, and everybody still powered through, you know, even if nobody wanted to quit, but we had to medically take off several. Same with War of the Worlds. We had to pull a couple of people off of that one too. You know?
Yeah, that one looked so hard.
I watched it. I'm like, absolutely no, Justin. Like, so you know which ones to cast me for and which ones to leave me out of. I would have been like, absolutely.
It was hard.
I mean, I still would have tried. I mean, clearly, but they looked like they were going to,
Looked hard. Yeah, just falling off bikes. Just people just kept falling.
But you know, it's not because the what they did was very different than in other places, but the desolation of the desert.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a fuck, you know, and it's just sand dunes in every direction as far as the eye can see. And I think it's just demoralizing.
Yeah.
So it's harder to kind of keep your mental up in that kind of an environment. Whereas if you're in, you know, the tropics and you're like, oh, look, there's a monkey and a tree and a coconut, beautiful water, and there's a yacht, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Different scenarios, you know?
Yeah. So Thailand, that final was beautiful. Like, it was hard, but like you said, like
super hard.
You got to see how beautiful Thailand was. Right. Like, I couldn't imagine being in a desert doing something like that. Like, I would be seeing mirages of water everywhere.
There's
like,
no end right there. That's
yeah.
Well, they would get to the top of a hill, you know, thinking that they might be close. And then it was just hills and hills and hills and hills as far as the eye could see. So there was, you know, it's just, it's a different mind fuck.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, listen, there are so many mind fucks, like big and small, in these finals. And I think one of them for sure is eating. So do you think personally, Justin, that it would be harder to eat a Carolina Reaper or like one of those plates that was in Double Agents with like the sheep face and the balls and the blood?
Personally?
Yeah, personally.
I mean, just personally, I wouldn't want to eat the spicy stuff.
What?
Because yeah. It stays with you.
It's not because your stomach is going to torture you for the rest of the game, right? Whereas the rest of it, you hold your breath, man, chew it up, close your eyes, just get it out of the way. You know, I mean, it's not going to be spicy. Although, I mean, burping up sheep balls while you're running. but the spice, man, and it looked like you can ask. You know, I mean, it looked like the spice really bothered everybody.
Yeah.
Climbing up that hill.
Wait, people had to test that.
Sure.
How did that go?
Who tested that?
We have testers that do that stuff.
We have Carolina Reaper testers.
People with testers. I want to know how they felt. How did they react?
Awful. I mean,
awful.
they're not, the stakes are different, right? So you have to understand that these guys aren't, you know, they're not going for $500,000. They're just making whatever it is their daily wage.
Oh, right.
And they're, it's an imposition to those guys. And they're like, right. Okay, great. So it's, you know, what I will say is it affected them more than it did the players, because the players have, you know, they're like, that's just something in the way of the players getting to where they're going.
Gotcha.
Whereas the testers are like, fuck, I'm going to eat this and now I'm all fucked up for, you know, for hours. But they threw up, God. You know, they did everything, all the same kind of reactions, even somewhat worse. You know,
so brave.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, this episode ends off with Darrell. We don't know if he's going to stay in the game or not, because his Carolina Reaper was obviously super hot. So was it so fun to cast this season just because you know so many of the old players?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, no, and wondering what they're up to and what do they look like?
Yeah.
All of
them. Yes.
That's very cool. Very cool.
I was wondering what everyone was going to look like, too, when they got there. I was so happy to see Tech.
Yeah.
Like, certain people just, the characters we had back in the day were just like these really vibrant, one-of-a-kind kind of people. Not saying that we don't have that now, but Real World really got to tell people stories. So like they came into the challenge and you knew who they were.
Right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
There was only one Tech. There was only one Ruthie and like Amaya and Colin, like all those people from that seat, like, you know, you had Puck, you had all of these names and these people. So seeing Tech, I was like, this is a kind of entertainment like you pay to see.
Yeah.
Like he's such an awesome guy. So
you pay
it was
that
really
Paramount
exciting.
Plus subscription.
I'm paying a Paramount Plus and I'm on it. So I think people are just really happy to have like this little piece of history, like this little time capsule of challengers that are like coming back to show that, you know, they still got it.
Yeah.
So I like having both of them.
I do too.
Fun.
I think there's room for both.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Play between two worlds. It's great. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I like
and
it.
And then have us go against each other in the future.
Listen, maybe. I thought that they were going to do that at some point, like bring back all the old people like a couple years ago and then have us go against you little idiots and then see what happened. But instead, here I am, old idiot with the young folks.
Hey, listen, Anissa, you're doing the best of both worlds right now, and you're crushing it. So
I love
live it up, girl. Live it up.
I am. I'm going to do it until I can't walk.
Love that.
That's right.
No, I'll probably stop before then.
Can't wait to see a hall brawl in wheelchairs.
Of a fucking walker.
That's actually a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Scratch that.
I show up as the host with like a walker with two tennis balls. Just ready.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And you know, this is, I mean, a little off topic, but we had TJ on not too long ago, and he was just raving about what it's been like to work with you over the years. So I'm just curious, like, what is it like to work with him from your perspective?
He is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he is a humble celebrity. So he, you know, oftentimes when you deal with talent, like on camera talent like that, they can come with their own baggage, but TJ Lavin has none.
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
the best.
He is 100% in for whatever it is and you know, without complaint. So I can't say, and he's just a pro, man. I mean, he handles everything without any issues. He comes ready. He serves it up, you know, and he gets it done. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have anybody else do this. You know, I hope that I never have to be faced with such a thing. And I think that he will probably outlive me in this. So, we're good buddies now.
Aww, man.
He's great.
So sweet.
Yeah. We feel the same about him. He's a great guy, and mm-hmm. he's definitely become part of our family now. So it would be weird without TJ. Yeah.
Oh, I can't even think of it. I couldn't imagine it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, who else is going to give you shit? I mean, you can't because you're giving us shit, literally, to do.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is going to be like, yeah, you're going to try? Are you going to quit? I hope you're not going to quit. Like,
right.
And that's how he really feels about stuff. Like, he's not getting paid to say that.
No.
I love that his real personality always comes out. You know, he's really a big part of the game.
For sure. And he would be a real good player.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
He would be a dangerous personality in that house.
Because we would all love him. We just, like, his political game would be through the roof, and then he would actually right? compete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have an off switch either. He's like, he's one of those guys.
Yeah. So. Totally. Well, listen, Booth, we have one more question for you. And he said, would you like to do the honors?
No, because I feel like he's going to try and escape this question, too.
Okay, well, you can't escape this one, so I'm going to put you on the hot seat. One more time, last question. We ask everybody this question, but I really am excited for your answer. So, if there was, like, a challenge Mount Rushmore, and you could put, uh-oh. Like, anybody from the past, anybody from the present on this Mount Rushmore, you had to pick, like, I don't know, two girls, two guys, something along those lines, who would you pick? He's like TJ, 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 and TJ.
I mean, if you're like somebody that you know that immediately comes to mind is DM Brown.
Oh, so, I love that. Yeah. That's the first time we got that answer too.
Yeah, no, she was awesome. So I would be happy to have her, you know, working with me anytime.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, geez, man, above and beyond that, I'll leave it to y'all to figure that out.
Right. So. She could just stand up there by herself, actually. I would have been fine with that.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I think that was a great answer. Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming Absolutely. On the podcast. You're the best, especially when we're not running a final with you. Like it's really easy to love you right now.
At checkpoints. So nice.
Well, listen, I love doing it. I love doing it. I love having all y'all out. And, you know, just because I'm beating you up when you're on the game doesn't mean that I'm not worried about you.
So. We know. We know.
Mm. Well, thanks so much for pushing us to our limits and watching us grow as people. And seriously, it's been an honor to have you on. So thank you.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Well, guys, you heard it. The amazing, amazing Justin Booth, just full of all the information that we want to hear, that we love to know. Mm-hmm. Justin is an amazing man, and I'm so happy that he could give us his time today to tell us what it's all about behind the scenes.
Totally. And you know what? It's so much nicer talking to him on this podcast than it is on a real challenge, because even as sweet as he sounded, that motherfucker is ruthless in the best way possible. And he's the reason why the show is as savage as it is. So thank you, Justin, for coming on. But Anissa, even though he spilled a lot of the tea, this is Challenge Confidential. So we need a little bit more from you. We're going to squeeze that pulp out of your beautiful orange. I don't know if that was that was appropriate. I don't know what I meant by that.
We are gonna gut that bit out of your beautiful avocado. We're gonna do it. You know, Tori has such a way with words that she doesn't think before she says them, but when she says them, they're like magic. Thank you, my little kitten magician. All right. So for Challenge Confidential today, we have my orange and its juices, its pulp. We also, okay, during the final, you're getting, like, trailed by, like, you know, different, like, four-wheelers. There was a pickup truck behind us that I'm just like, why are you following us? We're going the same spot. We can't make any weird turns. You know, you guys are really giving me anxiety. So I definitely talked to the truck a lot, which I probably wasn't supposed to.
Were they the camera guys?
But that's not the real... So the crew can come behind you with it, but they're riding in and they'll hop out.
Gotcha.
As you know.
Okay, yeah.
But there was also crew on four-wheelers that would go ahead of you to get certain shots. But here's the shady part.
Mm.
We're on our bikes, we're cruising, and who of all people comes? TJ. On his souped-up bike... with the beautifully pumped wheels. He had like a mountain bike. We had like street bikes with like three gears that were pieces of shit. Yeah. TJ came and would ride between us and around us and like do tricks and shit. And I'm like, not cool, bro, because I have no brakes.
Oh my God. You know what's funny? Is that actually brings me to his interview back when we were doing Double Agents. He was like, yeah, sometimes I'm running the final with you guys. Now this is coming full circle, because he was talking about when he was running it with you guys. I'm sure other finals too, but more specifically and recently with you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And when we were in the canoes, he would come up on his challenge speedboat and be like, guys, it's just straight ahead. I'm like, you know that you're making waves right now, right?
Oh shit.
We were like, stop riding near us, TJ. We love you, but get the fuck away.
Sabotage.
It was. I'm like, why are you doing... We have an amazing lead. Oh my why God. Are you making waves? He's in a speedboat. We're in this tiny fucking canoe.
Oh, my God.
And then... And I will say, little teaser. Not a spoiler, but a teaser.
Love this. Love this for us.
That TJ is a really big team player in this final. And you will get to see why.
Fuck, another cliffhanger. Wasn't ready for that, Anissa. Jesus. Oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm excited to watch the end of this. This has been one of my favorite challenges I've ever watched. So I can't wait to see the actual season finale. Anissa, it's been amazing supporting you. You are crushing this final. Like, honestly, I expected it.
Thank you.
But it's amazing to watch you do it. Tell people where they can follow you and where they can send you some fan love.
You can follow me at The Puzzle Mistress. I'm just kidding. That's not me. But it might be my next tattoo. You never know.
It might be my next tattoo.
A parallelogram with mistress inside of it. You don't know, but it's a possibility.
I'm so excited for that.
You can send me your craziest tattoos to Anissa MTV. That's AnEESAMTV on Instagram. Slide into my DM. Send me fun things, words of encouragement. Like I said, your craziest and wild tattoos. Keep it kind of, you know, PG-13, please. And where can they find you, Tori?
Guys, you can find me at Tori_Deal on Instagram. Send me pictures of that pulpy orange juice. You know I love a good pulp. Thank you to the morning vitamin C dose that I get. Anissa, it has been an honor watching you. It's been an honor watching you kill this season. And guys, continue to watch the biggest event in challenge history, the Challenge All-Stars, which is streaming now exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Yes, and just a heads up, we'll be off next week for the 4th of July holiday. So catch up on any episodes you might have missed, and we'll be back soon to cover part 2 of the All-Stars final
on MTV's official Challenge podcast.